Thank you for joining us for another great message from The Door. This week, Andrew Chalmers kicks off our new sermon series on relationships with the message entitled, Our Best Yes.
This next, I think it's next 2 months or so, we're actually going to be doing a series here at The Door. And if you're new to The Door, we are a community of believers from actually many different churches. And we get together on Sunday nights, and we have just an encounter service where we get to worship the Lord, and we get to grow in teaching and really just get to spend time with even people from different churches and different denominations. And so it's just exciting, you know, as you guys be able to come here. One, you'll get to hear me speak sometimes. You'll get to hear other people that you see in the room speak. And then also we invite in like different pastors and leaders that come and share. And I believe it was 2 weeks ago we had Ms. Swanson come. What's her first name? Diane Swanson. I don't know why I forgot that. But she came 2 weeks ago, and that was amazing. And so, you know, every week, you know, we're emphasizing different things, but for the next like 6 to 8 weeks, we're going to be doing a series, and we're going to really be diving into talking about relationships. So look at your neighbor and say, get ready.
Get ready.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about relationships. No, we are not only going to be talking about romantic relationships. We're going to be talking about all sorts of relationships. And it's going to be an awesome time for us to really grow together as people, you know, maybe with different backgrounds or, you know, different churches and denominations, but we're all, you know, children of God, and we can all learn to relate to each other in a greater capacity, in a greater way. And in John chapter 13, Jesus said, a new commandment that I give to you, to love one another. And he says, the world is actually going to know you and know me through the way that you love each other. And so we know that there is a supernatural thing that happens when I learn how to relate to you and you learn how to relate to me in a way that honors God. And that when we relate to each other in a healthy way, it brings honor and glory to God, and it actually draws people to make them want to know Jesus more. If you look at even from the very beginning of the scripture, if you go all the way to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, many of you guys are probably familiar with this story. At the very beginning of the scripture, you have God, who is three persons in one. It says, let us make man in our own image. Let us do this. Let us do that. And from the very beginning of scripture, we see community happening from the beginning, where God is in perfect communion with himself. I'm not going to go dive into that because it's just really, really complex. And I haven't even begun to explore the incredible awesomeness of our God as far as just understanding him as a triune God. But he in and of himself is actually a community. God in and of himself relates to himself in perfect communion. And so God is actually the perfect picture of perfect relationship. Have you guys ever thought about that? That God, like when you're communing with God, you're actually communing with the perfect picture of perfect relationship. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 13 that a perfect picture of him is when we love each other well. That when we love each other well, it actually paints a picture for the world around us of what he is really like. Why? Because God is perfectly in communion with himself. And then in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see the creation of man. We see the creation of all things that we know. And so God created man. God created all the animals. God created all the different things over the first 6 days of the week. And then at the seventh day of the week, it says that he rested and he said that it was good. And then if you go to chapter 2 in Genesis, it sort of like takes a step back and it looks from a different perspective at the creation of man. So it kind of recounts the story, but it begins to add some details that Genesis chapter 1 failed to add. And one of the most profound things that I think Genesis chapter 2 adds that Genesis chapter 1 doesn't put in there is just this simple phrase. And then God saw that it was not good. It just says that. And if you read Genesis chapter 1 over and over and over again, what does it say? And God saw that it was... And God saw that it was, and God saw that it was, Over and over and over again, God saw that these things were good. They were good. They were good. They were good. But then in Genesis chapter 2, what we actually find out is that there was a pause in the midst of creation where God did say that what he created in man was good, but then he takes a step back and he says, you know what? This isn't good for man to be alone. It was the first time that God said, you know what? I need to improvise. I need to change what I've done here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a companion for man. The first thing that God says that isn't good was actually the fact that man was alone. Why? Because man was created in the image of God to be in the likeness of God. And like I said at the very beginning, God in and of himself is actually perfect communion and in perfect relationship with himself. So for him to create man, and then for there to be no likeness in a sense of like relationship, then actually man would have a hard time being what he was created to be. And that was in the likeness of God. So in order for man, Adam, to fulfill the commission that God had given him, what did he need? A companion. He needed someone that he could relate to. Throughout the entire story of the scripture, there's one common thread. There's many common threads, but there's one common thread that we're going to be looking at, especially over these next 6 to 8 weeks, and it's the common thread of relationship. From beginning to end, you see that God is a God of relationship, that he values relationship, and it's something that he longs and desires to see us participate in. We were not created to be alone. You see that in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. We were not created to be isolated and alone. What were we created for? We were actually created for a relationship. We were created to be able to spend time with each other, relate to each other, grow to love each other in deeper ways. And we see it in, later on in Genesis, at the fall of man, what happens is suddenly the relationship that we were created for, a chasm came between us and God and us and each other. And when sin came into the world, when we rebelled against God's original purpose and plan, what happened was is suddenly the perfect relationship that we were to have with God, something was severed when suddenly we felt that we were no longer able to approach God and to have a relationship with him because of our sin. So we turned away from him. And then not only that, but we turned away from each other. And that perfect communion that we were meant to have, it was severed from that place. And what you see is actually in the story of the New Testament, you see God restoring our relationship not only to himself, but also to each other. And you see finally in Acts chapter 2, when God sends the Holy Spirit upon the church, he sent Jesus Christ, the atoning sacrifice. Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we could come back into right relationship with God. And after we're brought back into right relationship with God, suddenly the Holy Spirit comes and now we are supernaturally empowered to be in right relationship with one another again. It's like a full circle. If you read through the whole scripture, you'll see this big circle. The circle is this. In Genesis, at the very beginning, suddenly relationship was torn apart. And then you go full circle. You read the whole story and you see God's plan to restore what was in the garden. He restores it back at the end of John, at the end of the Gospels, and at the beginning of Acts, he restores what was lost. And what was lost? Our relationship with him and our relationship with one another. And so tonight, what we're going to be talking about is we're going to start off talking about our relationship with God and how that affects our relationships with the rest of the world around us. And just a simple picture that I want to paint for you guys, and this is just a really simple illustration, is this. We were created by God for relationship. And so if you guys look at this light right here, this light right here was created to do what? To make light, to create and emit light. And so that light, if it's to serve its purpose, it is supposed to be shining and burning brightly and creating light for us to see, correct? And not only is it supposed to create light for us, but it's also supposed to stay purely connected to the source of life, which is at the top of the building. You guys can, you know, see the line that's going up to the top. You see right there, it's connected to the source. So in order for us to live out our created purpose, we have to stay connected to the source. And so tonight, as we look at relationship, and as we look at the scripture, throughout the entire Bible, we see that actually you and I, we were created to be in relationship with one another. Do you guys agree? I was created to be in relationship with you. You were created to be in relationship with me. But in order for me to actually walk out my created purpose, I need to stay connected to the source, which is who? God. And tonight, as we look at a couple scriptures, what we're going to be studying is just simply this idea that in order for us to carry out our created purpose, then we've got to stay connected to the source. In order for a light to keep shining, it has to stay connected to the source of power. In order for me to carry out my purpose, which one of the purposes that God has created me for is to be in relationship, right? To serve my family well, to serve my children well, to serve my friends well, to serve those that God has entrusted me with, to serve them well, right? In order for me to do that, I have to stay connected to the source. The title of tonight's message is just simply this: our best yes. We are extremely limited, frail, and tiny in comparison to the vastness of our world and universe. While we were created in God's image, we are still just a tiny speck of dust in the middle of an endless universe in comparison to His size and capacity. One of the first keys to successful relationships is understanding who we are and who we are not. We are not God. Look at your neighbor, say, you are not God. Look at your other neighbor, say, you are not God. This is such a simple idea. But one of the keys for us to begin to have successful relationships is for us to simply realize this: I'm not God. And it's not my job to be God for you. In order for me to have successful and beautiful relationships right here, where horizontally I can begin to have beautiful, awesome, thriving relationships, I have to realize that I'm not meant to be God for you or to you. And when suddenly we begin to realize that we are not God, we can actually begin to walk in good relationship with one another. Psalms 46:10 in the New English Standard Version, it says, "Stop your striving and recognize that I am God. I will be exalted over the nations. I will be exalted over the earth." The second thing that we've got to realize in having successful relationships is that we are His kids and we're dearly beloved. 1 John 3:1, it says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His kids, and that is what we are." So as we approach the idea and as we begin to talk about relationships, one of the first things we have to realize is that, one, we're not God, and two, we're His kids. And if we have that realization and if we really walk in the truth knowing that we're not God and that not only we're not God, but we're His kids, then it'll actually help us begin to build good relationships as we move forward. When we really realize that we're not God, we are liberated from the pressure of trying to be more than He has created us to be. The revelation of our limitations actually creates a freedom to establish healthy boundaries. What I just said is this: when we have a revelation of our limitations, it gives us freedom to understand that I can't be everything for you. And I can't do everything for you. When I understand how small I am, that I'm just a speck of dust that God has created, I'm just a small little human being. When I realize who God is and who I am, then it actually helps me relate to you. What can be unhealthy is when I think that I'm more than I really am and I try to be that for you. We can be free to say yes to some things and no to others and not feel guilty about our inability to please everybody. So when you realize that you're not God and that He is, you actually begin to realize that you're free to tell people no. You realize that you're free to actually have boundaries and limitations where you say no to this and yes to this. When you believe that you're God, maybe not literally, maybe not in like 100% I believe I'm God, but when you're falling into the snare of thinking you're more than what He's created you to be, what happens is you will begin to feel like you have to say yes to everything. that you have to be everything for everyone. But when you realize who you are in relation to him, suddenly you'll be free in all relationships to let your yes be yes and your no be no, and actually to be okay with saying no. If we try to be God, it typically looks like us trying to be more and do more than we truly are capable of. We feel the need to always say yes, to always comply with the needs of every other person around us. We must repent. In other words, we need to change the way we're thinking and turn to God and put our trust and hope in him. We also must realize that Jesus is the Savior of the world, not us. Can you guys say amen?
Amen.
So the name of this message is simply, it's our best yes. Can you guys say yes? We need to learn to say no to the good so we can say yes to the best. Say no to the good so we can say yes to the best. Some people equate being a follower of Jesus to becoming a never-ending yes person that must comply and help everyone who asks. You guys agree with that? Some people believe that, though. Some people think that, like, being a follower of Christ, like, to be like Jesus basically means, okay, if I'm going to join this club, like, I'm going to become a Christian, okay, what do I got to do? I got to basically do everything that everyone wants me to do. Now, what I just said, the reason I'm saying that is because that's what you see in the church all the time. You see people that basically, when they come to Christ, they feel like, okay, now I have to become the ultimate yes person. But this simply is not true. We see over and over and over again that Jesus modeled that his number one priority was to stay connected to the Father, even in the midst of massive crowds, business, and great success during his three-year public ministry. It's recorded that he would always take time to sneak away and to prioritize his relationship with the Father. Let's look at Luke chapter 5, and this is going to be the main scripture that we're really basing everything we're talking about tonight. And it's just a simple... just a simple scripture, but I believe that it's a great foundation for us as we look at relationship. Verse 12 in chapter 5. I'm just going to read, and then if you guys want to follow along, you can follow along on the screen. And it happened that when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then he put on his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him. He charged him to tell no one, "But go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded." However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Verse 16, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Verse 15 and 16, they paint a picture. They paint a picture of Jesus saying no to the good things and saying yes to the best thing. The picture of verse 15 and 16 is ultimately this. What they're saying is Matthew's recording, or Luke's recording this, and he's recounting what's happening. And basically what he's trying to help us understand is that everybody wanted to hang out with Jesus. Like, he was the most popular person in the whole nation at this time. There were flocks of multitudes. Imagine thousands of people following you everywhere you go. Can you imagine what that would be like? Not Facebook following you, like physically following you. Thousands. Everywhere you go, they're following you. It's hard for us to, like, even imagine what this would be like, but it would be kind of like a superstar, like letting Justin Bieber loose in a high school campus. It would be like that. Like, can you imagine what would happen? Like, he probably wouldn't make it out alive. Like, they would kill him, you know? They would, you know, just run over him or whatever. But, you know, like, that's the hysteria. Like, can you guys imagine this? He had everybody wanting to come to him. And yet, there's this beautiful verse in verse 16 where Luke makes sure that he knows that we know this. He makes sure that we know this, that so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. What we see is Jesus making his main thing the main thing. What we see is Jesus saying no to the good things right? Helping people, having thousands of needy people all around you and helping them. How many of you guys would say that's a pretty good thing? Raise your hand. Helping thousands of people, that's a good thing, right? But what we see here is that Jesus actually had a greater priority than constantly meeting the needs of the people around him. And if you continue to read through the Gospels, what you'll see is that Jesus many times said no to entire cities, to whole areas. He would say no to that so he could say yes to whatever the Father was leading him to. And many times Jesus would come away from crowds of needy people. They needed him right then. And he would leave and he would go up onto the mountain and he would pray. And he would not spend time with his disciples so that way he could spend time with the Father. Now, if Jesus did this, how many of you guys believe that we need to make sure that we do this? If we are going to serve the people that are around us at a high level, if we're going to have awesome relationships, which is what we're talking about. So the next 8 weeks, we're talking about relationships, relationships, relationships. We're going to be talking in a horizontal fashion for the next 7 or 8 weeks. What do I mean by that? We're talking about these relationships between me and you, us. That's what we're going to be talking about. Different varying parts of those relationships, different facets about that. But that's going to be our focus the next like 7 weeks. But tonight, what I want to focus on is this, is that if this, your vertical, isn't right, this is always going to be dysfunctional and messy. Until you get this right, and until you continue to stay connected vertically, horizontally, you're going to constantly struggle in your relationships. It's going to be hard for you to maintain good, healthy, positive relationships with each other. It's going to be hard for us to serve one another the way that Jesus has called us to serve one another if we fail to stay connected to him. And so tonight, just very quickly, what we're going to talk about is really saying our best yes. And here's the deal. Every yes we say is a no to a list of other things. If you say yes to attending a meeting for an entire afternoon, okay, just picture this. If you say yes to a meeting and you're going to be there for an entire afternoon, then you're probably having to say no to grabbing coffee with your friends, taking a nap. You're saying no to spending time with your kids. Would you guys agree with this simple fact? For you to say yes to this afternoon-long meeting from 1 to 5, you're going to be in this meeting. How many other things are you saying no to? You're saying no to a lot of other things. There's a simple truth that I want to point out to you guys right now, and that's what we're looking at basically the whole night tonight is this, is that every time we say yes to one thing, we've got to say no to other things. Every time you say yes to a meeting, every time someone says, hey, I want to hang out with you and I want to go get coffee with you, you're probably saying no to doing other things maybe that you even need to do or you should be doing, but you're saying yes to that. Can you guys relate? Here's another example. If you say yes to going on a mission trip this summer, you may be saying no to your job for 2 weeks. You may be saying no to getting paid for that time. You may be saying no to buying like a new watch or an iPhone or something like that. Like, let's just say right now you guys are considering going on a mission trip this summer. If you're going to go on that mission trip, you're going to say no to many other things because you're saying yes to that. Our best yes. Every time we say yes to our relationship with God, it is going to cost us something. We are going to always be forced to say no to something else. We may have to say no to extra sleep. Lord, speak to my heart right now. There may be less time in the morning to spend with your wife, with your kids, with your friends. Think about this, guys. You may have to say no to social media, to television. You may have to say no to board games. That's my weakness. I like board games a lot. You may have to say no to reading books, to going for a bike ride, whatever it is. To give your best yes to God, you're going to have to say no to other things. And this isn't me trying to enforce some religious obligation upon you to spend time with God. I'm just simply putting out there just an obvious truth, and I'm not coming up with something new. This is a very obvious truth. For you and for me to give our best yes to God, we've got to say no to a list of other things. And we've got to learn to begin to say no to a list of other things. That's one of the most powerful things about prayer and fasting. When you say no to food, you're teaching your body that you're actually saying yes to God more than you're listening to what your body is longing for and crying out for that day or for that week. Fasting is a physical expression of you, of this simple truth. Yes, God, no, whatever. And if you struggle, in fact, like tonight, if you say, you know what, I struggle giving God my best yes, one of the first things I would say to do, and not many people would say this, honestly, a lot of people would say, well, get a Bible reading plan. No, actually, my suggestion, the first thing I would do is to fast food for an entire day. Don't eat. Like, actually tell yourself no for an entire day and seek the Lord and go after him and get to know him in a biblical fashion, like in the way that the disciples actually fasted and prayed. There were no social media fasts in the Bible. Just pointing that out. Now, those are great. Do a social media fast. But what I'm pointing out is biblical fasting is this. You don't eat food and you pursue and you run after God. If you want to begin to give God your best yes, begin to fast, begin to pray, and get a Bible reading plan. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. When we put other relationships and other things before God, this is called idolatry. When we practice idolatry, we are not only breaking God's commandments, but we are also moving outside of his created order. We were created with a God-shaped hole inside of us that only he can fill. He can only fill it when he's first in our lives. When we try to fill the hole with other things, we fall into dysfunction. When we let him fill the hole that he was created to fill by giving him our best yes, then we fall into the grace and the abundant life that Jesus has promised us. Putting other things and other people in first place, in other words, giving other things and other people our best yes in life is biblically, that's called idolatry. That's putting other things before God. And when we fall into idolatry, we're falling out of the flow of life that God has created us to be in. And the flow of life that God created us to be in is very, very simple. It's just like the light that I pointed out at the very beginning. It's very simple. The light is to stay connected to the power source. As long as it stays connected to the power source, it will continue to do what it was created to do. And that's the same for you and I. We were created to be in relationship with one another, and we were actually created to have healthy relationships, beautiful, incredible relationships with each other. We were created to be able to love each other and pour out our lives for one another and to see each other flourish and thrive and grow. That's what we were created to do. We were created to be in community and to be in relationship with one another. But all of that is completely conditional and wrapped up into how well we're connected to the source. How well we're vertically connected to God is going to change everything about every other horizontal relationship. And some of us tonight, we need to radically assess our lives. Where am I giving my best yes? Now, you might be saying yes to God. Honestly, if you're here tonight, Sunday night, and you came to the door, you're giving your yeses to God. I believe that. But what I want you to ask yourself is this, is am I giving my best yes to him? Is he first place in my life? Or is he third or fourth or fifth? Or is he somewhere down the line? And if you need help sort of measuring your life, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, what are you most excited about? What do you spend most of your time, your energy, and your money, and your resources on? recommendation is that if you allow Holy Spirit to show you that, and it, you feel like it's something other than God, then ultimately you're trying to allow those things to be the nourishment and the satisfaction that you need to help you to do what you're supposed to be doing in the rest of your life. But the reality is that all that's doing is it's just not quite enough. A lot of people, it looks like this, honestly, like in America, this is like the standard thing. If I could just get married and have a good marriage and good kids and a good job, like if I had those things, then everything else would line up perfectly. Like that's kind of like the American dream, is like if I could just find my wife and if I could just get married to her and fall in love. Everything's going to be perfect. A lot of people believe that. A lot of people really do believe that. And there's a lot of other examples that I could bring up, but a lot of people think that, man, if I could just find the right girl, then I would be really satisfied. If I could find the right man, you know, then my needs would be met. How many of you guys are married in the room? Raise your hand. How many of you guys, when you were married, and be honest, suddenly had the realization, like maybe later, that not that it wasn't all cracked up it up to be, but when you realize, you know what, that your mate couldn't be your God, essentially, where you realize, you know what, like this is still awesome and we have a great relationship, but I've really got to just be connected to the Lord as my main source. How many of you guys realize that? Anybody who gets married, you have a realization that it wasn't the solution to every problem that you had. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make all that stuff go away. It doesn't fix all your problems. Many times we idolize certain things thinking that that's what's going to be what we need, when in reality, we've really just got to stay connected to the source. We've got to stay connected to the Lord. When we give our best yes to God, we can give our best yes to everyone else. And I just want to make this really practical, guys. This is so simple. This is not a really complicated message. You know, I'm not trying to explain a bunch of Greek and Hebrew to you, but this is a very basic idea. Every yes we say is a no to a list of other things. And when we give our best yes to God, we can give our best yes to everyone else. And here's the basic idea. Guys, if we will begin to give God our best yes, we can become a better husband. We can become a better dad. We can become a better friend. In fact, I really believe that if we will begin to give God our best yes, if we will begin to prioritize that relationship above everything else, that every other relationship in our life will begin to thrive and will begin to grow. How many of you guys want better relationships? For me, a lot of times, when I wake up in the morning, there's a sudden pressure I feel. Like you wake up back into reality, and then all the stuff you've got to do, all the demands, all the relationship pressure, all that stuff, it just hits you. Any of you guys ever have mornings like that? You just wake up and it hits you again. You're like, oh my goodness. How many of you guys feel that? You know, you wake up and it's just like, this is so much. Those are actually some of the best mornings that I have, because you know what that does? If I choose to allow it, it gives me an opportunity to humble myself and realize, one, I'm not God, and two, I'm his son, and it allows me to go away to a secret place and to get connected with my Father and say, you know what, Father, like, for me to be a good dad, and for me to know how to handle this situation that I'm going through right now, I've got to be connected to you. And if I'm not, I'm not going to be a very good dad. I'm not going to be a very good husband. I'm not going to be a very good friend or leader or wherever you are. You know, if you're at Fort Benning and you're leading men, and honestly, one day you're in situations where people are dying because of decisions you're making, those relationships that you're going to have are going to be vitally important. Guys, the only way that you're going to have the right relationship is if you're staying integrally connected to the Father every single day and giving him your best yes. You want to be a better husband. You want to be there for your wife, or you want to meet your husband. You want to find that right relationship. Start giving God your best yes. Start giving him your best yes. And take those things that are really at the throne of your heart, those things that you say, you know, these things have gotten to be first place in my life. We've got to take those things and we've got to make a conscientious choice to say no to some things tonight so we can start to give God our best yes. How many of you guys know when you're in public places, like if you're riding public transit or you're traveling like through the airport, there's a lot of people who don't know each other. Basically, you're with thousands of people that don't know each other. And what does everyone do? Everyone's like this. There's that awkward pause. You know, you're waiting to get on the train and you're just like, oh, I've got 30 seconds. I've got 30 seconds. I need to do something. I'm going to Instagram. Okay, cool. Oh, somebody liked that. Cool. And then you get on the train. And then you're standing there. It's like, this is awkward. All right. I'm going to check my email. What are we doing in those moments? We're trying to connect. We're trying to connect. In that moment, there's a disconnect. And in that moment, we want to connect. And it's socially awkward to just start talking to a stranger. So we just revert to our phone and we just start connecting. Can you guys admit the source of that fidgetiness where you just pull out your phone and it's the first thing you do, especially guys who are coming in from Fort Benning, if they're coming in for the basic training, when you see them around town, you know, they're just standing around like basically on their phones, trying to connect. That's a natural desire that God has given you. He's given you a natural desire where you simply want to connect. Constantly, you're wanting to connect. And that desire he's put inside of you because you were actually created to connect with him. And so here's a simple suggestion. When you start to pull this out, start to check yourself. And just say, God, is my best yes given to you right now? What does that look like? Maybe it looks like just actually leaving your phone like that and just beginning to think about him and just say, God, I just worship you right now. I just want to, there's 10 seconds before this train arrives and I'm going to step on the train. And Lord, instead of just checking my Instagram for the 80th time today, I'm just going to say, Lord, I just worship you. I just love you. Father, I'm connected to you right now. Father, I love you. And you step on the train. And you stand there and you're like, man, I need to check my email. No, instead of checking your email, you just stand there. Maybe you don't look at everybody, but you just look out the window or whatever, and you just think, God, I love you so much. I thank you. And you're constantly giving him your best yes.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about The Door and Take the City, please visit us at www.takethecity.com. Have a blessed week.